This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Today, we have a treat for you, the latest episode of St. Louis Public Radio's podcast, Meet Me. The podcast is about connecting across divides to find a way forward in a moment when division seems to dictate so much. The first two episodes of Meet Me took a deep dive into the 150-year-old split between St. Louis City and County, now known as the Great Divorce. This latest episode is taking a step away from that historic divide and tackling another kind of separation, one that happens in a St. Louis family business. Here's host Luis Antonio Perez.
When I ordered my first pizza in St. Louis, I thought it was overcooked. The cheese was amber-colored, and I assumed it had been left in the oven too long. As I grabbed a slice and started ranting about why you should never burn a pizza, I took a bite. Whoa, I'd never had a pizza that tasted like this. It wasn't burnt, it was toasted. The bite was a satisfying balance of smoky and salty. The sweet sauce, thin cracker crust, and square slices, it was all as it should be. Soon, I learned that pizza in St. Louis is its own thing. And the mere mention of Provel can start a debate among St. Louisans and among outsiders who often seem too eager to announce how much they don't like it. For the uninitiated, Provel cheese is central to St. Louis-style pizza. It's a blend of cheddar, Swiss, and provolone with a little smoke flavoring mixed in. In order to properly emulsify this dairy matrix, Provel must undergo thermal processing with sodium citrate, an emulsifying salt, which prevents phase separation of the fat and keeps the proteins evenly dispersed. What that means is to make Provel melt smoothly instead of turning into a greasy, clumpy mess, they add special salts. That process, blending cheeses with heat and emulsifying salts, is why Provel isn't classified simply as cheese. It's a pasteurized processed cheese. For some people, that label is a disqualifier, and for others, it's beside the point. A related experience I found unique to St. Louis is the wide variety of local frozen pizza options. So I took a trip to the Schnucks on Lindell to take in their impressive frozen pizza aisle with Meet Me's engagement producer and St. Louis native, Paola Rodriguez. So we're in Schnucks. And we're walking
to... grocery shopping day at 10:08 a.m. Yeah. on a Thursday.
And we're on our way to the pizza aisle, the frozen pizza aisle.
Only the best aisle. Well, it probably rivals with, like, the cookie aisle.
Okay. Oh, is this it? Okay, we're here. We're finally here. All right. Oh, my gosh. Like, every time you see it, it's like... I don't want to say overwhelming, impressive.
I don't know. I feel a little bit overwhelmed.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about how do I quantify the size of this entire aisle. Like,
yeah.
There's literally, like, of those doors that you open in the frozen food aisle, there's 20 of those doors dedicated just to frozen pizza.
Wow.
It's like about two-thirds of the entire aisle on one side. Excuse me. Hi, my name's Luis. I'm with St. Louis Public Radio.
Hi.
I'm doing a story about pizza. I just want to know, how do you make your selection about what frozen pizza you get? Because there's so many options.
You want to know which one to get?
Yeah, tell me.
You should get either DiGiorno or Emo's.
Okay.
Now, they say that Chicago got a good pizza, but I don't know about that because I ain't never had that. I only can tell you the ones I had. So you want a good pizza, get Emo's or get DiGiorno. Dogtown ain't bad, but my favorite is really Emo's.
Okay. Is it the cheese? Do you like the Provel cheese?
I like the Provel cheese. I just like the whole thing. I've been eating it since I was a kid. I remember when they first opened on Shaw and Thurman, when we used to buy the small ones out of there before they even branched off. And then they got the one on Hampton and... then so on and so forth. So I'm really an Emo's girl. But I told you the ones I like.
Amazing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Take care. Excuse me, ma'am. Hi, I'm with St. Louis Public Radio. Can I talk to you just briefly? And I see you're in front of the pizza aisle.
Yeah.
And something that overwhelmed me when I came here is how many options there are.
Plenty, yes.
How do you choose?
Get the closest to Emo's home style pizza. So I would choose the Dogtown pizza in comparison to the Emo's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why Dogtown?
Because it's closer. It tastes pretty much like Emo's pizza, and my children and grandchildren enjoy it.
Nice. So is that what you're about to grab now?
Yes.
And are you originally from St. Louis?
Yes, I am.
And I have to ask, do you have feelings about Provel cheese?
Of course. There's no pizza that tastes as good without it.
And how do you feel about people who don't like it?
They don't know what they're missing. You can't like something you never tried.
That night, I made one of each, an Emo's and a Dogtown. But this episode isn't really about the divide over pizza. It's about a St. Louis pizza family and a divide that plays out in a lot of families. What happens when the next generation has to choose whether to stay and steward the family business into the future or forge their own path? So preheat the oven to 425, take that pizza out of the freezer, and settle in for a conversation across generations about the past, present, and future of one business in St. Louis. Meet me at the Pizza Factory. I'm Luis Antonio Perez, and this is Meet Me, a project from St. Louis Public Radio about connecting across divides to find a way forward. In this episode, we hear a one-on-one conversation between Rick Shaper and Rick Shaper, the father and youngest son from Dogtown Pizza. They talk about how the business started nearly 20 years ago, what it was like to grow up surrounded by sauce and cheese, and what the father and son hope for the future. For themselves and for each other. Dogtown Pizza is named for the neighborhood where it started. The same neighborhood where founder Rick Shaper, who's now 58, grew up and still lives today. It's also where his parents, Grandma and Grandpa Shaper, went to school, dated, and got married. Dogtown is the informal name for a cluster of neighborhoods just south of Forest Park on St. Louis's west side. The younger Rick is 27 years old, though in recent years, he's taken on a larger role in the family business. Rick's been working closely with his dad to expand the business. Together, the two Ricks built out a new facility in North St. Louis, several times larger than their previous building. But even with the business growing, so are questions about what comes next. For Dogtown Pizza, and for both Ricks. On a weekday morning, I visited them at their new factory. I set up two microphones and asked them to interview each other, father and son, in conversation.
Hi, my name is Rick Shaper, and I'm the founder of Dogtown Pizza.
My name is also Rick Shaper. I am Rick's son, third son, so I'm the youngest of three boys that work here at Dogtown Pizza running the business. So what did you think you were going to be when you grew up? And what did you want to be?
From when I was 12 years old, I never, ever, ever stopped talking about, I am going to own my own restaurant.
And is that because you worked in a restaurant from 12 years old?
It was. I started when I was 11 washing dishes at Ferrato's Pizza, and I quit there when I was 21. So my first job from 11 to 21 was in a pizzeria. And so I'm going to open my own restaurant. Nobody could tell me different. That's just what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm. What was it that made you want a restaurant? Was sharing food with people?
Well, cooking. You know, I cook and I love to cook. Mm-hmm. I always cooked 6 nights a week for you guys. Mm-hmm. And we didn't eat around the coffee table or in sitting in the living room. Every dinner was at the family dining room table. Mm-hmm. Every single one.
I loved that, and I plan on doing that with my kids too.
And that 100%. Is good parenting right there. So let me ask you this, Rick. What do you remember back in the day when I started this pizza out of our house 19 years ago. What do you remember then?
I remember lining pizzas up on our kitchen counter 14 at a time, and our chores were to open up jars of sauce and mix cheese to help make the pizzas.
Yeah,
I do remember when we first got into our building, our first
food incubator.
Yeah, the incubator. I remember I was so excited, and I was like, Dad, I want you to wake me up and take me with you on the first day. And you came and woke me up at like 6:30 a.m., and I was like, why are you waking me up this early?
So how old were you then?
I had to be like 7 or 8.
Yeah, so in your recollection with Dogtown Pizza, when did you kind of realize that, hey, this is really something special?
I would say probably in high school. That's when I feel like a lot of people really started to know what the pizza was. They started to know about the brand and about me and the family. So you started Dogtown Pizza right when the economy was crashing in 2008. Tell us the story about starting the business during that time.
It was very interesting because, you know, originally I wanted to go in the restaurant business. And by lack of funding and lack of trying to get people to invest in a restaurant, I really started making frozen pizzas instead. And what had happened is all my friends and peers in the restaurant business were all struggling because the economy crashed in 07, 08. And that forced people to go out to eat less and go to the grocery store more. And that gave us a really good kickoff in the beginning of our business because we were in all the grocery stores, or in many at that time. And so I wasn't banking on just a little location where people can show up and buy one pizza at a time. We were in a different business, and starting when we did was just a really good jump start to our frozen pizza career.
Was it a difficult competition at the time, given that we were kind of maybe a higher price point pizza in 2008?
It was difficult because in 2007, when I started this, we priced the pizzas at $7.99. We were the most expensive frozen pizza on the shelves, more than all the big wigs. And back then there was only one local pizza, and it was Mama Lucia's, and that was much less expensive. And people just kept telling me, you're never going to sell an $8 frozen pizza. But I never took no for an answer. And I think you know that from me growing up. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in mom and pop stores and I was knocking on Straub's door, I would go into Straub's headquarters for four locations, and I would bring them pizzas like every 3 weeks, and they never gave me the time of day. And the secretaries got used to me coming, and they love the pizzas. And they're like, can you give this kid a chance? I mean, just so he stops showing up. And that was my determination. I would not take no for an answer. And I just kept calling and calling. And you know, I was just very, very persistent. And we just kept making 14 pizzas at a time or 20 pizzas at a time. And you know, back then it was just a couple hundred a day at best. Unfortunately, when the economy does do bad, frozen pizzas, sales go up because people grocery shop more.
Right. And was there a specific moment when you realized the business was going to be successful?
When I got word that Deerberg's was going to carry them is when I was like, oh my gosh, we have something here. And this is before Schnucks. And, you know, before Deerberg's, we were only in about 18 mom and pop local stores, you know, shelves. And when Deerberg's gave me a shot, I was like, okay, now we have something. And then it literally took a year of me getting hung up on by Schnucks that we got in Schnucks. And when we got the Schnucks, we knew there's no turning back and that this is game on. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any favorite memories about working alongside me and your mother? And was there a bad part about it?
My My favorite memories were definitely through the end of 2021 through 2022, and we were doing the build out of this building. Because we bought this place and we put in a lot of effort and a lot of time together working on this building. I mean, every day back and forth between our old building and this building, and the amount of stuff I think we both learned at the same time and the amount of responsibility we had, it was a lot of fun. Even though it was a lot of hard work, it was a lot of fun. And do you have any favorite stories about your work life, whether it's, you know, back then or during Dogtown Pizza?
I just loved the pace and the people, and I thought I knew everything, and of course, I don't anymore. You know, now that I have you three kids, you know, I think I've, I first cut the cord the most when we walked away from the old building to come build this. I walked out of my business, and I turned everything over to the other two kids and to mom. You know, I took away all my office duties and we came into this. That's when I first started letting go and letting be and trusting the process and trusting that my kids are smarter than me in different ways. You know, I grew up in, you work 60, 80 hours a week. I put in the hard work, the grit, and that was my generation. And I do think this generation of kids want to work. They just look at it different. They want to, like, you kids don't want to work a dime overtime unless it has to happen. But you guys are smart, and you have been smart enough to figure out, like, no, we'll get it all done so I can go home at 3 o'clock. And I could never argue because you guys made it so efficient and you got things done. So when I say smarter, it's just a different generation of smart that I couldn't bring to the business.
Right. And so how do you feel about us three working for the business?
It's the most rewarding thing in my life.
Yeah.
I feel I've made it in life. Like, if we never got any busier, I have everything. You know, I have a beautiful home. I've been with my wife over 30 years. I have three grown boys that are running my business. You know, you guys basically kicked me out of production. What are you doing here? What are you, you know, I help with the big stuff in the office and the deals, but it's just so rewarding to see you guys get along and run things and not step on each other's toes, because literally you all do three different things in the business. Like, I can't ask for anything more.
Yeah.
Though operations at Dogtown Pizza are humming along, there's still one question that hangs over the family. When younger Rick joined the business full-time after college with a degree in international business, he did it under one condition: that he would give the business 5 years, then move on. And now, he's entering year five.
So, knowing that I studied international business and hope to move on at some point, how does that make you feel?
You're listening to the latest episode of St. Louis Public Radio's podcast, Meet Me. We're hearing this hour from Rick Shaper and Rick Shaper, a father and son behind Dogtown Pizza. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear what happens next. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to the new episode of St. Louis Public Radio's podcast, Meet Me. Before the break, we heard a conversation between Rick Shaper and Rick Shaper, a father and son behind Dogtown Pizza. The St. Louis business is at a crossroads. After building its capacity, the younger Rick Shaper faces a quandary that many in family businesses face: stay or leave. Let's get back to Meet Me host Luis Antonio Perez.
Young Rick, the son, was a quiet kid growing up. He struggled with anxiety and spent most of his time at home. So when he started to show interest in seeing the world outside of St. Louis, it was a bit of a surprise.
When did you realize you wanted to travel so much? Like, that came out of the blue. You were not the get out of the house guy. And now you're all over the world.
Yeah, I don't know what turned me on to that, because we never ever traveled growing up.
No, we went camping. That was our travel.
Yeah. So I never ever really traveled. And then I guess my first like remembering that I enjoyed traveling was when we went to Tennessee like twice in high school for the truck meets, and we went to like Gatlinburg, and I was like, this is the coolest place ever.
Went through the mountains and everything.
Yeah, first time seeing the mountains. And at the same time, I was taking French class in high school, and I happened to be like really good at French. And I remember seeing like a picture on the wall of this little village called Annecy, France. And I was like, that's the coolest place I've ever seen, and I'm going to go there. I was just like, I need to go check this place out. And I've been there 3 times now.
Rick's drive to seek out new experiences across the globe became a driving force. It shaped where he went to college, what he chose to study, and the kind of life he and his wife imagined for themselves. So when he joined Dogtown Pizza full time, he set a limit, 5 years. Long enough to help grow the business, but not so long that he lose sight of his dreams.
So we had this 5-year, 5X plan. When we were starting to build out this building, we're like, we're going to 5X our business. And we made a whole plan on how to 5X the business. And we achieved that, I would say, on the production side. We can make 5X that amount of pizzas now.
But we didn't sell enough pizzas yet to meet our 5-year goal.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And so we're not quite there on selling the pizzas. So knowing that I studied international business and hope to move on at some point, how does that make you feel?
I'm very, very partial and 50-50 on that, because on a personal level, you know, I wanna be greedy, and I want to keep you for myself and for my business, you know. But on a true father side, I'm proud of what you learned, and I want you to take your travel dreams and mix it with your business and mix it with what you've learned in this business to help me grow it to what it is now. And, you know, but to be perfectly honest, the stingy part of me wishes I would hurry up and get a couple of these really large accounts that I'm banking on to where the business really kicks off, and I could pay my boys a little bit more, and maybe he'll stay here and the business is doing so well that he could travel all he wants because he has the financial means,
and that'd
or
be
he
awesome.
Can leave. So I do think that, because I know you're going to go on to much greater things than Dogtown Pizza, and it'll be just as rewarding to see that happen. So I really, really, really can't wait to see what you do in the future. I think I'm okay with you leaving a lot more than Mom is. Mm-hmm. you know, she's got that mom tie,
yeah,
where she's just gonna cry to see you leave, but you know she'll be on the phone with you every day.
Yeah.
So I'm partial, but I'm okay with you leaving, mm-hmm, whether it's today or a year or a year and a half, and whether it's for 1 year or five or whatever. I'm already okay when that's gonna happen. I know we're gonna be okay.
Do you ever plan on retiring?
I do.
When and how?
I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it looks like. And when I say I'm going to retire, you know, I'm not going to sit down and rest. I'm going to find something, you know, fun to do, whether it's flipping muscle cars or collecting things. Mm-hmm. I'll probably start another business, but, you know, something not as physical.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it looks like. I don't know if, you know, we get so good and the thing just runs well and the kids can just pay me a salary and we all just profit from the business, or if we sell it one day. I'm not sure. I'm open to it.
Yeah.
As you know, now it's right now it's just fine tuning this machine you and I have built, mm-hmm, get to the place and to the right profit margins, yeah, where it's just self sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So are you proud of me?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, growing up, you always did like just kind of a little bit of everything. But you've always been a hustler. I mean, mm-hmm. you sold cars and then you flipped houses, which is crazy to do by yourself. And I remember being really young and sometimes you'd take me to the job sites and it's just me playing with my Lincoln Logs and you're just building a house. So like I've only ever seen you like hustle and run laps around everybody. And then hearing the stories of how you got into Dierberg, Schnucks, Straub's, not taking no for an answer, it's really inspiring. And it's I couldn't imagine me going through all of that, like all the rejection and then like all the stuff we've overcome. And it's pretty amazing. So absolutely. And to see what we've come to now, you know, even when I talk to people who used to work for us and they're like, yeah, we used to make like a couple hundred or 1,000 pizzas a day. And now like this month, our average has been 9,500 pizzas a day. Like it's crazy insane how far you've come and what you've done to this business.
I just want to tell you that I'm super proud of you. I'm proud of your travels. I'm jealous of your travels. I'm proud at what you have accomplished in your life, and you've just started. Like, I started this business when I was 38. So who knows when you're going to flourish to what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. But to me, you guys are already flourishing. Yeah. So it's very rewarding.
Thanks for supporting me and raising me the way you did, because I think you did a phenomenal job.
Yep. I'm excited about Dogtown Pizza's future, your future, mm-hmm. all my kids' future. I'm just, like I said, I'm thrilled at where I am in life. I don't need anything else.
One of our goals with Meet Me is not just to explore divides, but to help people connect across them, even when doing that can feel a little uncomfortable. It's about reaching across with understanding and sometimes love. In listening to the two Rick Shapers talk with each other, I heard a father still dreaming about the future for his son and for himself. I heard a son wanting to hold on to what he loves here, today, while still reaching for what might be possible tomorrow. And I heard them both grappling with the space between what they want and what's possible, trying to find some compromise between their dreams and their realities. Hard conversations with the people we love most are not easy. Sometimes it's hard to even know where to start. But Rick and Rick seem to have found a way in through affection, curiosity, and honesty. I hope by listening to the Shapers and others have hard conversations, it can help the rest of us feel more prepared to have them too, that we can learn from each other and about each other. So I'm appreciative of the Shapers for letting us listen in. Their pizza's pretty good too. I think it's the solid crust and the unique blend of cheeses, that flavor they create, and whatever it is that holds them together.
You've been listening to the latest episode of STLPR's podcast, Meet Me, hosted by Luis Antonio Perez. If you only caught part of this episode and want to hear the whole thing, just search for Meet Me wherever you get your podcasts. That's how you can also find our first two episodes that cover the historic split between St. Louis City and County, now known as the Great Divorce. You can also find it at stlpr.org/meetme. This episode of Meet Me was written, hosted, produced, and mixed by Luis Antonio Perez, with story editing by Alex Hoyer and Brian Heffernan. Paola Rodriguez is the engagement producer, with editorial support from Lara Hamden. Podcast art by Christina Flatis Mock. The executive producer of Meet Me is Brian Heffernan. Theme music by Cutta and Friends. Additional music by Halizna. Special thanks to Brian Munoz, Jeb Vardanabuti at University of Missouri, Schnucks Markets, and Dogtown Pizza.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.